Let us turn our attention now to our weekly Vents Day segment, your chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics in the news. This week's topics will be guns at political conventions and sheriffs patrolling federal land. Join us with your thoughts on these at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Let's start with the national issue, the idea of openly carrying guns into a national political convention. A petition showed up on the website change.org this week, or recently anyway, urging people to sign in support of convention delegates being able to open carry guns into the Republican convention in Cleveland in July. Ohio is an open carry state, so you can generally openly carry weapons. Well, a couple of things need to be mentioned up front. First, the Secret Service already said this week it's not going to happen. The Secret Service does have the power to ban guns from places where the agency is protecting people, in this case presidential candidates, even in open carry states. The other thing to know is that the person who set up the petition is in favor of gun control and says he meant it as satire. But satire, more than 50,000 people did not recognize and did sign their names to. Jim, the only name he'll give to reporters, said he wanted to start a national conversation about guns. So here's where you weigh in. Under what circumstances do you think it would be okay for the attendees of political conventions to openly carry firearms? Are there places and events, including political conventions, that should always be gun-free? And the other question is, should so-called gun-free zones be rare? I'm Jeffrey Riley with Emily Curitan. This is Vents Day. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Item 2 comes from Congress, but certainly resonates all over the West, where the federal government owns much of the land. A Congress member from Utah, Jason Chaffetz, filed a bill 2 weeks ago to end the law enforcement functions of the Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management. Instead, the federal government would hand out block grants to the states for localized law enforcement. In Chaffetz's vision, that would most likely be the county sheriff. Representative Chaffetz says the federal agents are more Rambo and less Andy Griffith than I would like. So your turn here. Should county sheriffs be responsible for law enforcement on federal lands rather than law officers of the BLM and Forest Service? Why or why not? Your thoughts welcome at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. And here's Emily with the survey. And we usually get a fair number of fairly strong responses to our survey questions.
That's right, Jeff. It was a robust week for the Jefferson Exchange survey. And actually, that is still up on our website, jeffexchange.org, and on our Facebook page. Easy to find there. You can like us, and that way you'll get the survey every week. Or if you have a particularly robust community group, a place where people come to talk online, I'd love to know about it, and you can get in touch with that website as well. In this case, I kind of thought the responses might be a little bit more homogenous than they ended up being. As you said, our questions, we asked people, we didn't tell them we were talking about satire, so there is that. But we asked people what they thought about open carry at political conventions. This is something of a modest proposal put out there by a card-carrying Democrat, actually, who created a petition to sort of ask Republican politicians and lawmakers to practice what they preach and live with the guns at their own convention. Our listeners responded a really mixed bag. You know, about a quarter of the people who responded actually said that there are some circumstances where these firearms should be allowed at a political event. The other question, similar makeup, about a quarter of the people who responded thought that responsibility should be shared on federal lands between local and federal law enforcement.
All right, this is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange, your chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics on the news. This week's topics are indeed guns at conventions and sheriffs policing federal lands, as proposed by a U.S. Representative from Utah, Jason Chaffetz. The idea being that instead, the states would get block grants to go ahead and do the law enforcement instead of the Forest Service and BLM, which is something that would gain some traction around the West. I have not heard of any other members of Congress signing on, though, to this bit of legislation out there for 2 weeks now.
It's Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Emily Curitan here with Jeffrey Riley. It's your time to vent your spleen politely about two topics in the news this week. Your thoughts, emails, questions, comments, vents, wouldn't be here without you. Give us a call at 800-838-3760 or email jx@jeffnet.org.
We're talking about guns at conventions as proposed in the petition that went over 51,000 last I saw, maybe farther along than that now. People signing on to say, yes, we do want guns at the Republican convention in Cleveland this summer. The other topic, sheriffs policing federal lands instead of federal agents. These are the topics on Vents Day. Please vent your heart's content. And here's Derek and Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
One thing that's been difficult to swallow over the years is what I consider to be the anti-intellectual arguments from the right.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I don't mind the argument that in favor of federalism with issues that can be applied to the state. But when you have federally owned property, it's just absurd to talk about states' rights when people in the United States own the federal land. The federal government should manage that land. They should police the land. It doesn't make sense to have a county entity, enforcing laws for the federal government. I just find it bizarre. And then I'll just say quickly on the guns at the convention issue, no right is sacrosanct. I can't go into a theater, crowded theater, and yell fire.
So no right is absolute.
No right is absolute. That's a better way of saying it. And I just want to nip this argument in the butt that rights are being violated, that the Second Amendment is being, even if you believe an individual has a right to carry arms, there are rules and conditions that are going to apply, and that's not illegal or unconstitutional. And so thank you for letting me vent that.
Sure. Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you, Derek.
Yeah, interesting points Derek makes there. Both of these points we covered on our survey got about 22 responses last time I checked, many of them very well thought out. This one comes from Fred in White City. He touched on both of the topics that Derek just did, but from a very different perspective. Fred said that open carry should not be allowed under any circumstances anywhere. And this is interesting. We are serving two states here, Oregon and California. Just to clarify, open carrying in Oregon is allowed pretty much anywhere. The state law does not prohibit open carrying of handguns or long guns on a person in public. California is a very different story. Prior to 2012, it was legal for a gun owner to carry a handgun in public. Not the case when a law took effect on January 1st that year. Now there are you're generally prohibited from exposing a gun in public, but there's a lot of exemptions there. So Fred in White City on the other side of that, calling for an all-out ban of open carry. Fred also sounded off on this question of should county sheriffs be responsible for law enforcement on federal lands. We didn't mention on our survey that this proposal does come, it's not an unfunded mandate at this point. They're saying they're going to do pass-through funds to the counties. Many people who said no way, locals are busy enough, were concerned about funding. So Fred had a different perspective there. He said county sheriffs in Oregon seem to be a group of nullifiers. So would they enforce any laws on federal lands? Sorry, I think this is just a weak attempt to be funny. I don't understand what's gained by it. Are there enough sheriffs available to even handle the extra responsibility? That from Fred in White City.
Interesting. So again, the question is, sheriffs policing federal lands as proposed by a representative from Utah in legislation introduced 2 weeks ago. And the other question is guns at political conventions. It began as satire, we are now told, by the person who first put the petition together at change.org to petition for the allowing of the open carry of guns at the Republican convention. But the fact is that more than 50,000 people have now signed on to that petition. We want to know what you think about the idea and even more broadly what you think about open carry generally. 800-838-3760 to join the exchange by phone. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning. Momentarily off topic, I thought the previous segment dovetailed so nicely with yesterday's discussion. Thank you for doing that. Now, guns at the political convention, what a nightmare for the senior service. The Secret Service couldn't possibly guarantee the safety with that many armed people around. All it takes is one. And they do have the legal authority to restrict it, and I think that has to be honored. If you're going to have the right to responsibly own and use firearms, then you do have to follow the rules and regulations associated with that. The situation with the sheriff and maintaining BLM lands, well, I can tell you that in the case of the situation with the mine down here, there were both BLM officers and sheriff's deputies that came onto the land that were the initial precipitating event for that whole hullabaloo.
This is where the Oath Keepers had come to defend
Correct.
The right of the miner?
Mm-hmm. Correct. There was one deputy with them. The issue of unfunded mandates is a very valid concern. Even if the funding is there now, that doesn't mean that the funding will be there in two congressional sessions or three congressional sessions. I refer you to Will Rogers, who said that the white man makes treaties that will be with us for as long as the grass shall flow and the rivers, I'm sorry, the grass shall grow and the rivers shall flow, and then puts us on land where the grass don't grow and the rivers don't flow. So there's that piece of it. The other piece of it is the ability to influence and potentially to create corruption. It's far easier to influence people at lower levels of the political chain, or at least it was before Citizens United, than it is to affect the federal government, where there are far more checks and safeties. So that can be the other reason. Anytime you see something devolving to the states, I always suspect that that's what's really going on.
Okay, thanks for that, Paul. Appreciate it. So the idea of functions of government devolving from one level of government to the other is really the major case in point here. We're talking about what will still be federal land. Jason Chaffetz in Utah does not propose that this not be federal land anymore. What he does propose, though, is that there not be law enforcement forces for the U.S. Forest Service and for the Bureau of Land Management, that instead some level of local government from state on down would be given a block grant to police these lands instead of the federal agents. So that's the question at hand on this Vents Day. What you think about the idea of this devolving most likely to county sheriffs? County sheriffs were mentioned by Jason Chaffetz as he announced this legislation. And, of course, county sheriffs are often regarded by people who do not trust the federal government and its land ownership and land management as the people who are elected representatives of the people and therefore in the best position to do this. So this gets us back to the Malheur Refuge takeover and a lot of other things. What do you think? Is the idea of having a local official police federal lands an idea that has traction in your heart and mind? If so, why? And if not, what's the opposition? Let's hear from you on this Vents Day about that and about guns at political conventions. 800-838-3760 over the phone. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. What else you got from the survey?
Oh, lots of good stuff, Jeff. And I'd say that Jason Chaffetz, the power of a pithy quote is really an evidence here, likening federal law enforcers to Rambo and local departments to Andy Griffin. It's kind of like you have to choose between overly aggressive and borderline inept there. And
folks, Andy Griffith was okay. It was Barney Fife. Barney Fife was the guy with one bullet in his gun.
You are your deputies, I think, in many ways. But just my humble opinion on this Vents Day, I will say in our survey, trust came up over and over. People, not only did they not trust that the funding mechanism to support county enforcement of federal laws on federal lands would remain stable, they also didn't seem to trust that federal agencies would represent local values. We got a comment here from Todd in Ashland. He sort of walked a middle road on the question of delegating authority to local sheriff's departments, say. Todd in Ashland wrote in our survey, "I think it should be a shared responsibility. Depending on the location and size of the federal land, it could make sense to expect a sheriff's deputy to respond if they're the closest or the federal law enforcement officer was already busy. By turning all responsibilities and duties over to the sheriff's department and eliminating federal officers altogether is wrong, though." So he's saying, and I think this is the case in a lot of small rural counties, they have these things called MOUs, Memorandum of Understandings, between law enforcement agencies, where if you're in trouble and you call 911, the nearest law enforcement officer will respond. But it sounds like this proposal is a little bit more reaching than that in terms of saying the buck stops with you. So Todd and Ashlyn with a nuanced approach there. Other folks, maybe not so much. This one's an interesting one. This comes from Jason in Roseburg. Jason simply wrote that the county better understands local needs. So sheriffs should be enforcing all of the laws. He also switched to our other topic, talking about whether or not guns should be allowed at political forums. Jason in Roseburg wrote, he thought that guns should be allowed anytime, anywhere, no matter what's going on. He said, I'm always more comfortable around well-armed civilians. A sobering comment out of Roseburg.
Indeed. Well, it's different things for different folks in different places. So that gives us another avenue to explore here about your level of comfort around guns generally. If you feel, as our last, as this last opinion said, feels more secure when there are more people with guns around versus people who might not feel secure if there are any guns around at all. 800-838-3760. We're talking about guns at political conventions and expanding the focus just a little bit from there, and the idea of local law enforcement, as in sheriffs, policing federal land. Join us on the exchange on this Vince Day at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's go to a caller we haven't heard from before, Bob in Jacksonville. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to express an opinion that I think this situation that you're speaking of is really a small part of a general malaise that's throughout our whole system. There's insecurity, there's distrust of government, of many things not functioning like they did. I'm 73 years old, and I have seen, since I immigrated from Canada 40 years ago, we're just going downhill so fast. Kind of started with Nixon. And there's a recent book out by George Packer called The Unwinding. Mm-hmm. And it really describes how so many of our institutions are not functioning. And the whole gun thing is another symptom of insecurity. People are insecure in this country, and it's sad. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. Andrew in Grants Pass, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. Andrew, go ahead. Andrew's not there, so let's go to Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Good morning.
Hi.
Yes, on guns at conventions, I think all the participants at both the Republican and the Democratic conventions should be issued orange squirt guns. And then if they get disappointed in somebody else's actions, they can squirt them with the squirt gun.
Mm-hmm. So
that would work out.
A little
well.
Catharsis there.
Show the adult attitudes of the members of the parties.
I envision a very wet convention if that were the case.
Yeah, that's my guess too. At any rate, on sheriffs, if federal block grants, if I remember correctly, don't designate exactly how the money is supposed to be spent. So I can envision counties in Oregon, at least, that already don't have much in the way of county taxes going, oh, we'll take this money and put it over here and do this with that, instead of having the sheriff patrol the federal lands.
Yeah, I do find myself wondering if, and thanks for that, Mark, if you have a couple of counties thinking, you know, this actually could be a good idea for us, because then we'd actually have more money for the sheriff's department than we have right now.
Or if, as Mark is saying, it's a block grant and maybe there is an opportunity there to backfill things. If you have county supervisors or county commissioners who don't agree with the federal laws they're supposed to enforce, a whole nother can of worms I hadn't even thought of there, Mark. Thanks for that. On our survey, again, trust coming up over and over again. People either saying, hey, what's the big deal? Why you live in fear? Trust your government. Or people saying, whoa, I don't trust the government at all. Please stay out of my backyard. Here's one on that note. This one comes from Mark in Brookings. He was in the camp that there shouldn't be any limitations on where you can bring your guns. And his reasoning there was that he trusts law enforcement and security to do their job. Mark in Brookings wrote, "No restrictions because everyone has to be checked for weapons and bombs are ready if security did their job right." So Mark putting a lot of faith in law enforcement there to weed out people who might be a threat. Todd and Ashland also sounded off on this point. He said, as long as they're acting responsibly and do not have a criminal record that would make it illegal for them to have a gun, I guess it would depend on the venue too. In this case, the venue for the Republican convention is a no-gun zone owned by a private company that has decided that on the property, even though it's an open carry state. Todd and Ashland continued, Open carry proponents don't bother me. Besides, law enforcement is usually watching them closely, kind of like walking around with a big bullseye on your forehead. So again, Todd echoing the idea that, hey, the cops are doing their job. We can all bring our guns to town.
A couple of emails here. Kathy in Grants Pass wants to know who is the person who put forth this satire. And yes, it was a Democrat or a liberal anyway from somewhere in the West. He's being careful not to give any more than his first name to news organizations who've contacted him. He goes by Jim, is all he'll say.
Yeah.
And Jim just says that he wanted to make sure that he just put it out there that this is what the members of the Republican Party talk about, wanting to make sure that people have their guns. And he said, oh, it's fine. So they should be able to have the guns at their convention. In fact, the petition itself has a quote from Donald Trump saying, I'll get rid of gun-free zones on schools. He talks about that Ted Cruz complains about the gun-free zones. John Kasich talks about the gun-free zones as deadly. So he says, so let's not have the Republican convention be a gun-free zone and let them essentially have their money where their mouth is. So Jim is all we know about the person that the news organizations have contacted behind the petition at change.org to allow guns into the Republican convention.
That's right. And he's protecting his identity, he says, because of the vitriol he's already gotten from the internet on this point. You know, a lot of people... Here's one that I thought was interesting from Steve in Crescent City. He was in the camp of sort of not allowing the guns at the convention, but not over an ideological thing. He just said, I support open carry, but in areas under Secret Service protection, I can understand the reasons behind not allowing it. So in this case, Steve and the Secret Service did immediately deep six this modest proposal.
Pretty much right away.
Yeah.
Scott in Ashland also emails. He says, I'm all for the proposal that guns be allowed at the Republican National Convention. Maybe Trump and Cruz could use them to settle their differences. Would give new meaning to the term floor fight. So, yeah, there's a fair amount of snark that comes with the suggestion, too. Let's hear from you. 800-838-3760 to talk about guns at conventions and sheriffs policing federal lands on this Vents Day. 800-838-3760. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Wolfgang in Sunny Valley, welcome to the Exchange.
Good morning, and I will be extremely polite. So, of course, the convention thing is recognizable as a joke, and we sort of, let's have guns at the Republican convention and none at the Democratic convention. But more importantly, I think the sheriffs patrolling federal lands. I think in Josephine County, we have what we call a BLM sheriff. He is a sheriff, but he's funded by the BLM. Okay, so there's
one deputy, you mean, who patrols BLM land.
One deputy, right. Mm-hmm. Now, people are talking about they don't like government. They don't like. Now, the commissioners are government, and the way they act is in part responsible for us not liking government, because they take money and use it for something they would like to use it for instead of law enforcement, and then scream, law enforcement, we need money, secure our safety, we are so insecure, and blah, blah, blah. So there is a double talk. And the second issue is this. Local interests. People are talking about the locals know how to take care of local problems. Yes, they do. But they also know how to take care of local interests. And that basically nixes any type of protection, because the good old boys buy the good old boys, and then they act or don't act based on their local interest structure.
All right. Thanks for that, Wolfgang. Appreciate it. Dennis and Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yeah, say, I'll comment on the guns thing.
Okay.
I just wanted to point out something. In the military, I used to be in the military a long time ago, you don't carry your rifle around. It's locked up unless you're in combat zone. And even in the, like, if you have guard duty here in the United States on a base, you don't get to carry a loaded weapon. And if something comes up, you have to call for an officer of the day to come and tell you whether to load your weapon or not, whether to shoot or not. So even in the military, they know that, generally speaking, people walking around with weapons, even people who are supremely well-trained, is a dangerous proposition.
Mm-hmm. So you're for the well-regulated militia part of the Second Amendment, then?
Well, I'm not going to say one way or another. I'm just pointing out some facts.
Mm-hmm.
And my other point is that I don't understand why people are afraid of people who are carrying guns openly, because you can actually see that they have them and that sort of thing. I would be more worried about people that are carrying guns that I can't see. That would bother me more. So I think open carry is a much better thing than concealed carry. And also, I don't know why we couldn't just follow the rules that the military has.
All right.
As far as carrying weapons around.
All right, so you only load it when you think you might need to use it. Dennis, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Other things from the survey that bear repeating in our last minute here, Emily?
Yeah, a couple of final thoughts. Joe and Arcata wrote in echoing Dennis's feelings there, using the words of Johnny Cash. Joe wrote, "Leave your guns at home, son. Don't take your guns to town." Another one here from Jonas in Rogue River. Jonas wrote of having guns at the Republican convention. Democracy and intimidation don't mix. So, interesting thought there. Are you intimidated when you see a gun strapped to someone's hip? Just something to think about.
Yeah, it's a different things for different people, clearly, because, I don't know, when Dennis was just talking now about, I'd feel better about having people with guns visible than people with guns invisible. If you can't see them, you don't know they're there or not. I don't know. You know, people do get rattled sometimes by seeing guns around, as we learned a couple of years ago when Starbucks allowed open carry for a while, and a fair number of people thought that was not a really great thing, didn't make them feel particularly comfortable. So here again, guns in America is something that we talk about a lot and will continue to do so probably for the next 230 years or so. Thanks for listening to this Vents Day. I'm Jeffrey Riley.
And I'm Emily Curitan.